7 weeks from today, we will gather in the darkness of this church. It will be darker then than it is now. And we will begin to sing the hymns of the resurrection. We will leave this church in darkness, as near to total darkness as we can get it. And we will walk in procession around the block, as we always do. And then we will come to the front doors of the church, and we will proclaim that Christ is risen. We will then enter a church that is no longer dark. It will be a church flooded with light. And we will sing over and over the great hymn of Pascha. We know it by heart. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. We will sing it. We will shout, Christ is risen. And we will answer, indeed, he is risen. We will do that until we can barely speak. In 7 weeks' time, we will have arrived finally at our final destination. Today, however, this Sunday of forgiveness, this is the day rather where the train does finally leave the station. Today is the day that begins the journey to where we want to go. It begins the journey to Pascha. In just a few hours' time, after coffee hour, we will return to the church. We will celebrate Forgiveness Vespers. And so together we will enter the season of Great Lent, the season of prayer, this season of fasting and forgiveness, the season which will prepare us to celebrate the resurrection. You know, and as we talk about Lent, there are many kind of images and metaphors that we use to describe this time that we are about to enter. We describe Lent most often, I would say, as a journey. I've already done that a few times this morning. Lent is a journey. We are going somewhere. Lent takes us to Pascha. Another image that we use is the image of a school. Father Alexander Schmemann describes Great Lent as a school of repentance. We learn something during this season. We also call Lent a tithe. It's a tithe of the year. It's a portion of the year that is set aside for God's good purposes. We also refer to Lent as a season of fasting, a season of preparation, a season of reconciliation. And these images, they're all correct. They're all correct as far as they go. Journey and school and tithe and season. But so often we overlook what is perhaps the most important purpose of Lent, the most important image associated with Great Lent. Lent is given to us not just so that we might go on a journey, not just so that we might go to school and learn repentance, not just so that we might give a tithe of the year to God. At the most basic level, the reason that Lent is given to us, brothers and sisters, is so that we might die. Great Lent is given to us by the church as a way to enter into death. Go back for a moment to that Paschal Troparion, that great hymn of Easter that we sing, right? Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Forgive me. Among other reasons, this is the heart of our faith. This is the very center of what we believe and preach. But we have to understand always what it is that we sing. The hymn does not simply tell us what Christ does. It tells us that, but it doesn't only tell us what Christ does. It also tells us how. Right? It tells us how Christ accomplishes his mighty work. Christ tramples down death. He defeats death. He destroys death. But he does it by death. He defeats death by his own death in particular. He tramples down death by choosing to die. By choosing to die for the sake and for the life of the world. And it's because Christ chooses death freely. He chooses it. Because of that, he turns death inside out. In Christ, death no longer annihilates. In Christ, death becomes fruitful. It creates. Death leads to life. He tramples down death by means of his own death, and by doing so, he brings life to those who, like him, are in the tombs. And that's the important part. Right? There's the rub. Do we want life? Do we want real life? The life which our loving Father created us to receive? Do we desire to receive the life that Christ brings to us? And if we want that life, if we believe what we sing, we have to put our money where our mouth is. To receive the life which Christ brings, you have to be among those who, like Christ himself, are in the tombs. You and I have to be among the entombed before Christ can bestow life. And if we are not in the tombs, Christ did not come for us. And so if Great Lent is anything, it is an entry spiritually. It is an entry spiritually into death. And that can sound a little bit scary, something that we can easily lose sight of. Everything around us in this world fights to deny death and to push it far away, to pretend that it doesn't exist, that it can be delayed indefinitely. But far from being scary, the life which Christ brings through death is the source of ultimate joy. And not just joy for some future day, not just joy at the resurrection. It is joy that is within our reach, potentially and always, right here and right now. Death is very much the center of our Christian faith. In fact, I would say it is wrong to even refer to our faith, to refer to Christianity as a way of life that we choose. It's more correct to call Christianity guidance into death. Christ calls us to pick up our crosses, not to pick up our paychecks, right? He tells us in St. John's Gospel that the world will know that we are his disciples so long as we love one another. And no greater love do you have than when you lay down your life for your friend. Those are the Lord's words. Great Lent is given to us so that we might learn to lay down our lives in love for the sake of those around us. Great Lent is a time set aside so that we might perfect our baptism. Remember the baptismal service. The Apostle Paul writes that we are united to Christ in a death like his, so that we might be raised with him to new life. Our death begins at baptism. And for the rest of our lives, we are reminded to live up to it, to live up to that baptismal calling. Brothers and sisters, Christ tramples down death by his own death, and we call ourselves Christians because we desire to follow our Lord in all things. Otherwise, this is just a joke. The church calls us to become little Christs. That's the actual word, the actual expression in our holy tradition. We are called to become little Christs, to become by grace what God is by nature. These are ancient and holy, trustworthy words in our tradition. The basic call given to every Orthodox Christian is to become divine. I'm not making this up, right? It's to become divine, to grow into the image and likeness of God. These are mighty, big ambitions. To become divine, to become like God. And if we want to know what it means, if it's not clear to us, if we want to know what it means, if we want to know what it means to be God, we of course look to Christ. That's the center of our faith. Jesus Christ is the one who reveals the Father. We read that every night at Pascha. He is divine, our Lord is. The Son of God is divine with the same divinity with which the Father is divine. And when we look to Christ, what is it that we see? How does Christ reveal what it means to be God? As Father John Baer reminded us during his visit back in October, Christ does not reveal his divinity through his miracles. He doesn't reveal what it means to be God through the wonders that he works. He did not show us what it means to be God by healing the sick. He did not show us what it means to be God by walking on the water. Back in those days, there were plenty of miracle workers. Jesus was not the only one. It wasn't that special, really. There were many. Rather, Christ shows us what it means to be God in the way that he chooses to die as a human being. That's the difference. No one ever did that before. He chooses to die, to give himself up for the life of the world, because nothing, nothing would stand in the way of his love for us and for the world. Nothing could stand in the way of his love for you and for me. And so he chose to die rather than to give up that love. Not even death could separate us from the love that Christ desired to give to us. And it's because of that, it's because he freely chooses death, that he takes death and he explodes it, right? He turns death inside out. He literally reverses it. Imagine 6 weeks and 6 days from now, Holy Saturday, right? Holy Saturday at the morning liturgy. In a beautiful hymn, the church actually gives voice to hell itself. We're used to hearing the church hymns, and maybe it's John the Baptist speaking to us, or maybe it's the disciples or the River Jordan speaking to us. On Holy Saturday, the church has hell itself speak to us in a couple of different hymns. But here's one of them. Today, hell cries out groaning, right? Holy Saturday, the Lord's been buried. Today, hell cries out groaning. My dominion, my power has been shattered. I received a dead man as one of the dead, but against him I could not prevail. From eternity I have ruled the dead, but behold, he raises all. Because of him do I perish. Glory to thy cross and resurrection, O Lord. Christ shows us what it means to be God in the way that he chooses to die as a human being. Think of those thunderous words from St. John Chrysostom that we'll hear on Paschal night. Right? In his Paschal sermon, Chrysostom proclaims, "Let no one fear death. Let no one fear death. For the Savior's death has set us free. He that was held prisoner of death has annihilated death. By descending into hell, he has made hell captive. He has embittered hell when it tasted of his flesh. Hell was embittered, for hell was abolished." Christ shows us what it means to be God in the way that he chooses to die as a human being. In love for you and for me, because he has finally found us, right? Now that he has received us like the prodigal who has come home, now that we are no longer lost, Christ rejoices, and he will not let us go, even if death is the threat. Now that he has found us, he will never forsake us, never leave us. Not even death will separate us from him. And so for us, brothers and sisters, that is what Great Lent is all about. It's an invitation to renew our baptism. It's an invitation to unite ourselves to Christ in a death like his. It's an invitation to love as Christ loved, to seek what he sought. And the death that we seek, the death that we seek is not the morbid death of somebody who doesn't want to live. That's not what it means at all. What we seek is the death of darkness. We seek the death of fear. We seek the death of anxiety, the death of control, the death of separation, the death of strife, the death of everything that stands in the way of love, everything that kills and poisons love. Whenever I am asked why we fast, "Isn't this tedious, Father? Can you give me a good reason for why we do any of this?" I try to answer by saying, we fast because we love, right? We fast because we love. It might sound ridiculous, right? But it's true. It's the only reason for fasting and praying and confessing. It's the only reason for Great Lent. I fast in order to love. I pray and I worship and I confess so that I might give up all of those things that separate me from God's love and from loving my neighbor. I forgive because if I don't forgive, I cannot love. And if I don't love, I cannot give myself up for the life of those around me. If I don't love, I cannot choose to die as a human being as Christ did. If I don't love, I will always seek life in a place where life actually does not exist. And treasure, as the Lord reminds us this morning, treasure is not something we find on earth where the moth and the rust destroy and the thieves break in and steal. Brothers and sisters, the church calls us to undertake a great feat of strength this day, to begin the fast, to unite ourselves more deeply to Christ by loving ourselves less, by loving God and others more. During Lent, we are called to give up our lives always in love, for no other reason. In small ways, and perhaps for some of us during this Lent, in big ways too, for those around us. We are called to be ready on Holy Saturday when it arrives. We are called on Holy Saturday to take our place, not outside the tomb, not standing around like a spectator, not by watching Holy Saturday as it unfolds as if it were a movie. We are called this day to get ready to take our place on Holy Saturday inside that tomb, inside the tomb, to be there waiting for Christ himself, who chooses to give himself up in love for our sake, and for the sake of the life of the world. We are called to be there in the tomb so that Christ might destroy our death by his own death, so that he might bestow life eternal, life radiant, life divine, life full, life complete, and life free on all of those who have united themselves to him and to this world in love. Amen.